This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Good morning, Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app as well. I hope people find their way to downloading their 710 Sports app. Great way to listen to the show on demand as well. It's all powered, of course, by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. We'll come back to some of this Mariner conversation, Brock. It's been great talking M's with everybody here over these last couple of weeks and all the interest and buzz around the team and all that. But also a lot going on with the Seahawks as they have, their final OTA practice today. And then next week will be mini camps. I mean, like, you're just sort of already cruising through this. Before you know it, you'll be ready for August 1st and training camp and all the storylines that we'll find there. So let's take a quick little buzz around the Seahawks and the NFL. You and Danny got to debate it, on Tuesday? I was out.
Yeah, about 5,000 folks responded on the old Twitter poll.
And I don't know. I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I see this so totally different than you do.
Who is under the most pressure and expectation when it comes to this Seahawks season?
Is it Coach Carroll? Who is under the most pressure?
Is it Coach Carroll?
Not expectation. You said pressure.
Most pressure.
Don't go changing the rules.
Oh, I think I had a slash in my poll. Pressure slash expectation. But if you want to just leave it at pressure,
I would leave it at pressure. You start adding expectation, and I might change my answer a little bit. But who's under the most pressure on the Seahawks in 2018?
Pete, Russ, Schottenheimer, or John Schneider?
I think it's Russ, and number two, Pete would be fourth on my list. I think Russell is under a fair amount of pressure to prove that he is a franchise quarterback. Because if this team actually does tank a little bit, it's going to reflect very poorly on him. Are you sure you're a franchise quarterback if you win six games? I mean, I think the belief is that Russell, more than anyone, should be able to make sure that they are at the very least an 8-win team.
Well, then, is this part of you want to believe that because you know what it will lead to? And that is, not only will it be the most fascinating discussion in a decade, Russell's next contract, but if you were to throw that kind of fuel on the fire, it would just be even more dynamic. Because they go 5 or 6, and he has a regret. So do you expect him to regress?
No, I don't. I expect him to succeed, but that doesn't mean there's not the pressure on him. They've taken away a lot of the excuses we've had for Russ over the last few years.
Yeah, see, I expect him to be just fine. I don't know about Pete. I don't know about Pete, man.
What do you think Pete's going to do that's not going to be fine? Like hormonal decisions on fourth down and that type of stuff?
Yeah, just emotionally, just as wrapped up as he is in so many things. Things got away from him a lot.
If we're
going to
start talking about guys wrapped up in too many things, you don't get to put anyone ahead of Russell Wilson.
But that has never affected his game.
What was Mike Ferrari's tweet yesterday? Russell Wilson, who's throwing out the first pitch for the Mariners, even though he loudly plays for the Yankees, but is backing an effort to bring baseball to Portland?
Yes. Sounds about right.
You had a question about Russell Wilson yesterday. I couldn't even figure out which side project it was. Don't tell me Pete's got more going on than Russell. I'm sorry, man. If you're going to put yourself out there the way Russell has these last couple of, especially months, with all of the things he's doing, the ESPN show, the Trace Me app, the show that appears on the Trace Me app, playing for the Yankees, helping the people in Portland, working. Brock, we don't have enough time left in the show to talk about everything Russell's working on.
Yeah.
That guy's under the most amount of pressure.
You want to know why you want Russell that way? Do you really want to know why you want him doing all of that? Being that his hands
busy?
In every single pot and busy, you want to know why?
Because otherwise he's too unlimited.
Because when he has downtime,
I know.
Guess what he does?
Mr.
He walks around. He walks around the house and he's here. You want him busy. You want him on that wall.
I would agree.
You really
do. I
do
want Russell busy, but I also think there's a lot of pressure on him. Number two on my list,
unlimited,
would be tied between Schneider and Schottenheimer.
Pete's really four.
Yes. What pressure? What, they're going to fire Pete? You're not going to fire Pete. He's the wizard behind the curtain. He's the culture changer.
How much more?
He's the one who made the Seahawks the Seahawks.
How much longer has Pete got? He's the oldest coach in this league.
From Pete's perspective or the Seahawks' perspective?
Both.
I think that Pete may or may not at some point decide to retire, that he's done. But in terms of pressure on him, that means hot seat type pressure. I can't imagine that he's under any.
Two or 3 years away from even feeling the pressure.
That's how I.
Since 2013 and 14, the record's gone which way? The record has gone which, just on paper, the record's gone which way. And the team lost control the last 2 years. You lost control of your team. But frankly, how you handle Earl is going to be a big part of this. So I'm glad we're talking about that next.
Well, that is the next question. What are you going to do here in the next couple of weeks in terms of paying guys?
I'd like to see a deal or two done. I really would.
Who do you want to see get done?
You got Lockett,
you got Coleman, you got Clark, and you got Brown, and you got Earl. You got five guys who are sort of interested in new deals.
Frank Clark would be the bottom of my pecking order. I got to see more out of Frank. And the fact that he's holding out now and isn't reasonable enough to come to the table and be a practice, I don't like that. I don't like it at all. So I'm not even negotiating, and you've continued to show me more and more of your cards in that way. So sorry. We're not going to do it. We're not going to negotiate in good faith and find a reasonable deal because you're being unreasonable. You're not even here practicing with our team. So you're out. Coleman was a really nice addition. I love the number he's at this year. Tyler, I got to see with his knee and see if the explosion comes all the way back. So the only one for me is Dwayne Brown. And some of it is for the worst reasons. The worst reason is, we got to pay off that trade. We don't want to look bad. So that's the worst reason to do it. But more importantly, what my eyes have seen at that position at left tackle, that you could play into your mid or late 30s, Andrew Whitworth, and be a totally functional difference maker with as horrific as O-lines are in the league. I need a plus guy. He's a plus player at that position. I want to see that deal done before training camp.
Dude, you're getting ripped for my argument. I like it.
What?
Please, Brock. Most fascinating discussion in a decade. Possible return of the NBA. Stadiums. Hockey. A quarterback contract. Really? Save that for your garbage podcast. Woo!
Whoa!
Fire.
Hot take.
By the way,
I told you the text line's been mean.
Garbage
recently.
Podcast coming out today. Nelly Cruz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, little Nelson Cruz.
That sounds like garbage. I don't want to listen to that. You and Nelson Cruz talking about life and how you got to where you are and the above and beyond.
Coming back
podcast.
From my El Salvador trip, which you and I haven't even downloaded on. We haven't even had time. We'll have a cup of Tolly's coffee and talk about my trip to El Salvador.
If you would have invited me up to Alaska with you this weekend.
Oh, really?
I would have said no. But still, it would have been a nice invitation. Okay.
Who do you want done?
Of that group?
Yeah.
I want the same as you. But number two on my list would be Coleman. I'd like to see Coleman get done. I think he's good. I think Justin Coleman's a good player.
I do.
We've
too.
Now seen it over a couple of years. He's a good player. Right?
Yes. He scored more touchdowns than your running backs did.
Stop. I know it's true.
No, I think he did.
I know he did, but still stop. Okay. Don't say that. That's just mean.
All right.
That's just mean spirited. Texter says, that's a rant. Good work, Mike. It's not as good as Astros rants guy, though. Like, it was okay. That's just sort of how I feel about Russell and Pete and all that. But
sure.
Not. Why are you doing this?
That's a rant.
Lydia,
what is the whole point, man? What is the whole point in you doing this at all?
Would you please find his rant on Giancarlo Stanton? Beep it out so we can play it. It is so funny.
Lydia, can I ask you a question?
You guys have to see Astros
always,
rants
Brock.
Guy.
Is Russell do too much? In just your opinion, as you and Mom sit and read your book on the arena and you're out in the garden this weekend, blankets over, it's going to be a little chillier. And you talk about Russell. Is a mom presence? Do you have a concern like, man, this is just too much, Russ?
I had a concern as soon as he started the no time to sleep hashtag. It's like, but you need sleep. This is important. You need your 8 hours. Yeah, I would say that's always a concern of mine. Not that you have to be singular focused. I know athletes are human beings and should be allowed to have interests and things outside of it. But yeah, sometimes at a certain point, you are just like, that's not humanly possible.
I'll say this, though, for Russ, he shows up, man.
Yep.
Voluntary or not, Russell somehow manages to drag his butt over to practice. I know not everybody can do that. It's so hard to get to three or four.
You know what
practices.
It is? It's as soon as your performance does not match up with that.
Yep.
So as Brock said, as soon as there, or you said, as soon as adversity hits and you are not doing well, then it'll become a much bigger part of the
And I'll be right there with everybody else. I mean, I was the last time. You decided to go to a vacation in Mexico during your off time and then immediately came back, played arguably the worst game of his career against Arizona, coming right off of that.
Hashtag dad bod. I mean, we went through that phase, too, with hashtag dad bod.
Remember when he had dad bod?
Yes.
I'm glad he doesn't have that anymore.
Remember all the trouble Howdy got me in from this picture?
Because when he turned in a fat Russell? Next. I'm glad that's not true anymore.
All right, dude. I want your advice on
you
this.
You want to ask this one?
I just want your advice on this. I like you in situations like this. I've said this before. I think outside of this industry, you should have been an agent. You love the winter meetings. You love all the gossip. You love all the talk. You love maneuvering things around. How are you handling Earl Thomas? If Earl does not show up next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for mandatory minicamp, which, by the way, as Clayton said, Gronk did, and Brady did, and others have, even Marshawn did way back when in the day, and Michael Bennett last year. If Earl takes the step, and actually does not show up for mandatory minicamp, which I bet his buddy Richard's telling him not to do. But if he doesn't show up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Pete's asked about it, how should this organization handle it from what they've learned the last couple years with players?
I don't know, man.
Because part of me wants a little bit of the nuclear card. Part of me wants...
You want to blow it up and send a message?
If you're truly resetting this thing, it's not just about Earl. You are taking a stand. You have an opportunity. Like a baseball manager sometimes gets opportunities. Okay, you're really now in a mandatory situation. You're not just playing the voluntary card. Now it is mandatory. And you're putting it right back in our face. I think there's an opportunity there for Pete and the organization to just make a stand publicly. And just say, I am really disappointed and borderline angry that you're not a part of this thing.
Look, I've always... I think you could have done that by trading him. I'm always a little bit more hesitant to start throwing elbows once you get into, you know, players that you actually want to coexist and be a part of your team.
Because my hunch, Mike, I'm sorry, I'm going to pause you for just a second. I'll give you a little more time to think. My hunch is that over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've done everything to try to get him to this camp next week. You remember Bobby with us 2 weeks ago making this plea.
Before we get off, I would like to take this time to shout out to Earl Thomas. You know, I think he's an amazing player. I think he's an amazing person. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. And just let him know that, you know, we over here, you know, wishing for the best in that situation. And we're thinking about him. And I just want him to know that from this end.
And I bet you over the last 2 or 3 weeks, man, they've been up to date. Bradley McDougal said, I've been in touch with him, talked to him about ball and everything else. I bet they've done all they could, maybe even encourage teammates, hey, to make sure. If Richard Sherman's being the antagonist on the other side and making sure Earl should be the highest pay, and Earl, protect yourself, and Earl, don't do this, and Earl, which you know he's doing as a competitor that is Richard, is going to play to win in every way. Because Richard don't want Earl in a good spirit, in a good place, in a good mood playing for the Seahawks. So I am sure they've done everything in their power to placate him, to make him feel important and wanted. Come on back, man. Come back into this fold. We need you so badly. But if he takes the mandatory card and says, yeah, I'm out, I think that portends for horrific things come training camp.
That's why I think they should have traded him.
Well, okay, thanks for going back to something that it's not
trade him now.
The question. Find a way to just still trade him.
Sure.
If he doesn't show up to minicamp, you're ready to start to play that card.
I'd play it whether he shows up to minicamp or not. I'd still trade him. Yeah. I think they should trade Earl Thomas. I've not wavered from that position. I thought they should have traded him before or during the draft, and now that the draft has passed, I still think they should trade Earl Thomas. Yeah, I don't change my view on that. I think that whatever they're doing, call it a turn or rebuild or whatever, is going to take more than 1 year. So whether the draft picks came in this past year's draft or next year's draft, I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I would absolutely continue to look to trade Earl Thomas right up until week 10 of the season or whenever it was that Duane Brown got traded last year. Yep.
I really hope that this is a non-starter. I hope next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows up, and even better, he's out there playing. We'll see.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
A calf or a hammy or something going on.
I wouldn't hold your breath on
that. We'll see.
This one came from you, Brock. Is this it for Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Yes.
I think you're right. This is the last hurrah this year.
This doesn't seem
like they're going to be able to keep this band together any longer.
Yeah. You know what I've fallen in love with the last 5 days? Avocado. So I'm kind of getting Brady's avocado ice cream and everything he's done with his guru and his diets and everything else that we got to see behind the scenes. But yeah, there's no clear. If there's a card that Earl has played over these last few weeks and not participated in any offseason, the fact that Tom's done that for the first time in 20 years until mandatory camp tells you that this is the fumes. This fumes part of the tank, and they may rally around it one more time and get it done. O-line is a lot thinner than it was in the past. Cooks is out, right? The relationship, I think, is fractured, severed, whatever you want to describe it with Belichick. I think this is the last go-around.
Yeah, it kind of had a feeling of, all right, let's try to do this one more time to see if we can grab one more ring, and with the understanding that we all now hate each other and we're ready to move on.
Yep.
Right? It's kind of a let's keep it together for the kids type of thing. They're graduating high school next year. We can get divorced once they're gone. But let's see if we can, for their sake, to get through high school, see if we can stay together and get along well enough, and then everybody can have their freedom next year to go do what they want. It kind of has that feel, right?
Sad, yeah. I mean, what a horrible working environment that would be in. If Cassius Marsh and...
You think that can work? We didn't really get to talk about that Cassius Marsh thing. What did you make of that?
That backs up everything I've heard from just about anybody that's been there outside of Damon's experience with Tom and Drew, which was obviously great.
If people don't know the story, Cassius Marsh, of course, used to play for the Seahawks, went to the Patriots, and now is gone. Where is he now? San Francisco.
He's the 49ers.
And he said, yeah, it wasn't any fun.
Nope.
I just didn't enjoy it. It wasn't fun, and it's too bad they can't have fun. I didn't enjoy it there.
At all.
And a lot of people have immediately said, yeah, whatever, dude. Who cares whether you have fun? It's work. The job is to win rings, and they do that better than anybody.
Yep.
So go have fun in San Francisco. You won't be winning anything.
Yep.
I think this is one where I honestly do see both sides of it.
Who's Isaiah?
It's a bad fit.
Isaiah Stanback said the same thing. You know, he went to Dallas and he went to New England. He's like, man, that just it's a horrible working environment. Just the working conditions. There's just no joy to do the job at all. Now they do the job, and Tom and Bill and their brains and their experience are an enormous.
No, but
part
if you were to talk to the Teddy Bruschis and some of those guys, Troy Browns, etc., I think they would tell you that they had tons of joy.
Sure,
the
I
job.
Wonder if it was different though in the building phase, and
maybe
from 01 to 08 than the last 10 years.
That's
or
possible.
So, you know,
that
we
pressure
built this
mounted.
Thing. Yeah, and we built this thing, and there's something that you always hold on to. Like, you know, we saw that here with everything that was built here, and how much fun you said it yesterday that the run to a World Series and winning that first World, there's just nothing like it.
I'm happy. I'll tell you what. When is the next Stanley Cup game? Is it tonight? Game four tonight or game five tonight?
Yep.
Assuming Washington closes this thing out, I will feel very happy for the Vegas fans or however the many of them there actually are. To imagine winning the Stanley Cup in your first year, it's all downhill from there. That would be terrible. Yep. And I know it would be great in the moment, but it would really not be a good long-term thing. Pleasure delaying is better than instant gratification when it's all said and done. And good on them for getting a taste of it. Probably would have been better if they had, like, maybe just made the Western Conference Finals and then bowed out. But whatever, man. They get all the way to the Cup. They get a full taste of what it's like to root for a great team. And they get a little taste of heartbreak, which is important to truly enjoying success when it comes.
It'll be interesting. So that's back in Vegas tonight.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
The Caps took care of business at home. It'll be interesting to see if that Vegas... Because the one thing that always stands out about hockey is if the opposing team wins in that arena, those fans largely stick around. The players are out on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is a, that it's about that Stanley Cup. It's not even about the teams necessarily. So I wonder if a brand new fan base in that city,
we'll see.
Their role playing and everything else they love to do, I wonder if they will pay the respect that
you think
have
that
felt for you.
At the end of it, the Golden Knight will allow himself to be destroyed
because
the Capitals gladiator.
Yes. Maybe he'll just, like, hand over his sword.
Throws himself off the second balcony.
You were going to say, Lydia?
Oh, I was going to say, more importantly, what is the pregame show going to be like tonight, and how are they going to one-up their game, in addition to Little John, who is going to be out there?
Ying-Yang
Twins?
The Cup is going to be in the building.
I think they should have John Clayton's role-playing cough, like, in the fact that you
right.
can get over it.
That would help.
I think so. Role-playing. I'm sorry. I know, that's a bad way to ask.
There, buddy.
I know it is.
It's a bit of a stretch.
But every time we play it.
I appreciate that you like playing it.
Rock getting along. A role play group? What would
John, we're going to let you go. John, you got to go. Go get some water. That's enough.
It still gets me every time. And the fact that you just cut it off, you could have let it keep going.
No, I'm nice to John, unlike you.
Never,
you want to use John for sport.
I never know where that could have gone from there.
Hey, did you see Jerry Colangelo resigned? Probably killed the NFL music. Jerry Colangelo did finally resign.
No way.
I know, it's a big surprise to everybody. So I guess the Sixers finished their investigation into these burner tweets, and it's his wife, and she admitted it.
Yeah, he had to choose wife or job.
But he's resigning.
Yeah.
He's done. You can't. I mean, that means he gave his wife a lot of privileged information, right?
Yes.
So either way, I mean, now, do you think she did it with his knowledge or without? Because the next step, if she did that without his knowledge, is a divorce.
So
right?
Are we talking now or Colangelo's next job interview? Because I think the answer may be a little different.
They would have to get divorced, right? If she did that without his knowledge, you couldn't stay with somebody after that.
Oh, sure. You can always forget.
But she probably did it with his knowledge.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I don't know.
This is 100% speculation. What do you think?
Yes.
Did he know or did he not know?
I would. Ooh, that's tough. I would think he would have to know.
Have to know.
I would think you would have to know.
Right.
Now, does he know every tweet? Does he know all the burner accounts? Does he know the frequency of all of that?
No, but he knows that, maybe not each individual one, but he knows it's happening, right?
Right.
If not, like, she's nuts.
You think Heather would ever make a burner?
No, I don't. I don't think she would.
Can you see Molly going down that road?
Yes, I could.
I could see
that. Much more so than Heather.
Right.
Yes, I could absolutely see Molly getting into the burner account business.
By the way, this won't cost him his next job.
Do you think he'll work again?
I'm going to guess.
Because he's good at what he does, right?
Yeah, I think he's excellent at what he does. But, you know, depending on how it all sorts out, that just was not going to work. In that market, that was not going to work. In Sacramento or some of the San Antonio, maybe some smaller markets. But
well,
not,
and also when they're on the verge of something, I think that's part of it, is that they honestly feel they're on the verge of something special, right? They got Embiid and they've got...
As they should, trust the process.
Right, they got all these guys that are sort of coming together this year. They probably, you know, believed they were going to beat the Celtics and at the very least go to the Eastern Conference Final. And there's a belief they got a shot at LeBron next year. I mean, you can't have that hanging over your organization with some of what's at play. I mean, Cleveland, assuming LeBron leaves, will blow up. The Celtics and Sixers are sort of poised to be the next two powers in the East. You cannot have that hanging over your organization.
Yep. You know what I'm going to do? Do you and I a favor of?
I'm surprised the NBA let him quit, Howdy. I would have thought the NBA would make him stay so that that storyline would be a part of the Sixers next year.
Yeah, you're not resigning. It's a little bit surprising. It's out of character.
Well, but maybe the surprise, maybe we're just not seeing the surprise.
He probably was asking for too much money from the league, and so they had to write him out of the next season. It's a contract dispute, really.
Twist ending.
These things happen.
I'm going to do a little math during this segment, not on the air. I'm going to do a little math over the next few minutes. I'm going to have a little chart with like four or five different end game numbers that we've heard, right, with a bunch of our phone callers from 80 to 97, I think was the range. We didn't have anybody go over 100, right, with their new projection of Mariner wins.
Nope.
And I'm going to actually do some bona fide math. Okay. I'm not even going to use my phone for it.
Well, Brock will do math. We've got some of you still hanging on the line from last hour, so we got a lot to finish up here. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
A role play group? What would a role?
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Seattle is alive for the Mariners. The excitement in Seattle is insane. It's insane. I'm thinking 87 and 75. Wow. And we're getting in on a wild card, baby.
Something about that call. It's so funny to me. It's Brock and Salk. Hope you're having a good morning here. 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Nerd alert, as Colin Cowherd likes to play. Brock has done some math. What'd you learn over there, math
man,
whiz?
Man, these math numbers actually look so unbelievably favorable.
What's going
for the
on over there, Pascal?
Okay, if you're going to win 80 games this year, if you're going to reset your number for the Mariners, that means over their final stretch of 101, they go 42-59. If you're going to win 82, it's 44-57. 85 means 47-54. 88 means 50-51. You play a game under 500, you're going to win 88 games. 52-49, just three over, gets you to 90. 54-47-92. 57-44-95. And 62-39 gets you to 100.
You just spouted out numbers in a way that nobody could possibly understand what you were talking.
Which number felt like the sweet spot?
Well, I didn't hear them. They all came together at once.
If you play 500 baseball.
54-43. 24-27. 95. 443.
Play a game under 500. You go 80. You have 88 wins this season.
Yeah, I think they should be able to play a few games over 500.
I liked 3 games over 500. That sounded pretty darn good to me. It's 92 or 90. Okay.
Yep, 52-49. You win 90 games. So 3 games over 500 from here on out. As other teams add, there's no doubt about it. You would expect Houston to add with the resources and the farm system with the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Seems pretty reasonable, right? That they would win. And that's 90. I said 92. I mean, somewhere in that range seems really reasonable for the rest of the way. You're not asking them to be a world beater for the last 4 months. You're just asking them to play basically 500 ball and pick up an extra win or two in there. That seems like something this team should be capable of. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Nico in Kent. He's been hanging on a while. What's up, Nico?
What's going on, fellas?
All right, so
I think we're going to go that we're going to play 550 ball from here on out, which basically puts us at 93 wins. I think we missed the division by a half game to Houston. We play in that one game playoff. We beat Boston, and then we go on to play in the next series, which we probably lose. I want to win the World Series as a Mariners fan, but I'm guessing, as being a realist, that's probably not going to happen. I think this is more of a team that's built for next year. And so what I really called in to talk about was a conspiracy theory that I've come up with.
All right, let's go.
At the end of last year, I believe that Robinson was on some type of HGH or something like that. I think he went to the Dominican Republic to get a masking agent, and I think that he told the Mariners organization about it. And what happened after that was that they had to figure out, okay, well, when we miss Robinson for those 80 games, how are we going to replace him? The best way is to go get another Gold Glove second baseman and turn him into, air quote, a center fielder, so that once he does get suspended, now we can run that guy right back into second base. We don't have to worry about Robinson chasing the second base home run record, and then we can slide him to first when he comes back, which basically sets us up for next year, because we'll have him for a few games to play first base for us this year. He won't make the postseason, but then he'll come back next year, which allows us to move Ryan Healy, Kyle Lewis, to get a pitcher for this year to try to help push the run.
Always thinking a step or two ahead. Thank you, Nico. Howdy, I think you're the one that's got to sniff out the conspiracy theories.
I don't think he's all wrong, but he's certainly not all right, I would say. Like probably most conspiracy theories, there might be a kernel of truth somewhere
sure.
in there.
The only thing I would say, Nico, just from experience, that's all I can say, is just being around the club, some of the experience, some things I've actually learned the last couple years more than any other, is that these players don't talk to the teams. That these players, as far as sharing information goes, and the power that the players have in what they can do and what can be whitewashed and what can be made public, and just the amount of control they have, very rarely does a player share information that way. You know, a team has to do all it can to extract, or an agent has to do all it can to extract. So that's where I would have the hardest time believing, you know, and I'll believe Jerry, and more importantly, I'll believe Scott, that they did not know about that failed test until that Sunday or Monday.
Text message, hey, Nico, who killed JFK, bro?
There was a lot of thought put into it, though.
There was.
At the same time, would you also have the same problem where you would want somebody for your center field position if you knew that ultimately you were going to move D. Gordon back there? Would you feel comfortable enough with your center fielder?
Good question. Yeah, great
strong
question.
Questions.
All right, 206-421-3776. Guess who's on the line? Roger in T-Town. Nice. Number one on the board. What's up, Roger?
What up?
About time, Roger. Roger, everybody's gained on you this week, bro. Everybody's made ground on you. I'm glad we finally hear from you at some point.
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, the reason why the uptick in the phone calls has nothing to do with Mariners. It has everything to do with that whiteboard behind Brock.
Think so?
Okay, they are bringing it, and it has improved dramatically. All right. So my take on the Mariners is, at the beginning of the season, they're winning games 10-8. They're losing games 8-6. And I looked down after about a month, and they were 28th in team ERA. And I'm thinking, well, this is not sustainable. This is, you know, they're winning. It's fun, but this is not going to sustain. You had Marco Gonzalez 2018 pitching a lot like Marco in 2017. I gave him a nickname. You want to know a nickname I gave Marco early in the year?
Sure.
It was Marco KFC Gonzalez, because everything he was throwing up there tasted like chicken. And they were just tearing this guy apart. So fast forward, up to the present day, Marco has become our second best pitcher.
Yeah.
And the team ERA dropped from 28th to 13th, and more importantly, 5th in the American League. And that's the more relevant because they have the DH. So that is sustainable. Okay, so I'm going to put him at 93 wins.
Yep.
And one quick thing to Brock. I hear you calling me out on the radio saying Roger's resting on his laurels. Dude, come on, man. No one's resting on Hey, in T-Town, we don't rest on our laurels. We laurel on our laurels.
All right, I'm out. There you go. That's why Roger's the king.
Howdy, number one.
Howdy, what would Jim Rome say about that? Don't they feel a lot of calls on Rome's show? What would Jim Rome say about what
he'd
Roger
say
T-Town just did? Rack 'em?
Rack 'em.
That's what he says.
Rack 'em.
Congratulations. You've made the top five.
Yeah. Top five. Top five.
Still number one and by far the champion.
You know what? I can't wait when we have two of them on the phone.
At the same time?
Oh, man, when Roger and Kendall go at it. Yeah, or Roger and Jody go at it, or Beast Mom and her son Abel go at
That'd
it.
That would be quite the battle.
It would.
Between Abel and Roger.
Dude.
Can't wait to see what happens. 206-421-3776. Todd's in Atlanta. What's up, Todd?
Hey, man.
Hey.
How's it going? I love that you're getting more calls lately.
Oh, good.
It's really cool to hear the callers on the air, and my one comment about the whiteboard is that I love the idea of it, but you can't impugn Roger. He's been bringing it for how many, like a year and a half now?
Sure.
I love hearing him on the radio. He's always well prepared, so I don't necessarily like the constant churn of it. I think it should be a longevity thing and a consistency thing. So, well done, Roger. It's an honor to follow him, actually. I'm saying 90 to 91 wins minimum. And this is coming from a guy who's been all in since, what was it, 2009 when we got Cliff Lee?
Yep.
Every off season, every preseason, I'm excited. I'm over here in Atlanta trying my best to follow the team.
Mm.
And every year they get hope, a little bit of hope, and then it just gets ground into dust by September. I'm back in. I came into this off season saying I'm not going to get my hopes up. I'm just going to take it as it comes, and they've been bringing it. So
love it, Tom. Love
I'm
it. Well,
it.
Love it, bro. Thank you from the Deep South. The Mariners to win 90 games, just 52-49.
Deep South,
Atlanta.
It's not the Deep South.
Atlanta's not the Deep South?
No.
Oh,
it's
really?
The South, but it's not the Deep South.
Oh, what's the Deep
the
South?
The Deep South is Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi.
Okay.
That is the Deep South.
Okay.
Don't try to pretend that Georgia, and especially the city of Atlanta, is the Deep South. It's the South.
You're the Southern expert. Okay.
But it is not the
all right.
Deep
no,
South.
No, I get it. You've traveled there. You know it inside
Mike
and
spends
out.
A lot of time in the South.
Yep.
I've been there. I've been to every one of those places, and I will tell you that
there's one South expert on the show.
Yeah, oh, for sure. There ain't no doubt about it.
I am not an expert on the South. I'm an expert on labels.
Okay.
Let's be clear. This is a labeling
is
issue.
Yeah,
this is not a South issue.
It's amazing the work that they've done. Some of the hay they've put in the barn. It's only 60 games. It's not 80. It's not 100. But when you put 60 games in and you've played at this level, 15 games over, Mike, to get to 90 is just 52-49.
Mm.
It is just 52-49. It's a tick above 500. That's it. To win 90 games, that's a testament to what they have built. It's what Scott wanted to do, man. If he was adamant about one thing in the spring, and when he sat in that little seat next to you, what was it? Get off fast, man. Just get so we don't have to just chase and dig our way out. Can we start fast? And, man, have they ever.
By the way, once you get out of Atlanta, there are probably other parts of Georgia that are the Deep South.
Oh, there. Oh,
but Atlanta itself?
Oh yeah.
Atlanta can't be
Oh, there
the deep
definitely
south,
is.
Right?
And what a privilege it was to follow Roger.
What a privilege.
What a privilege for Todd to follow the great Roger
who's
one.
Laureling on his laurels as we speak. All right, let's finish this up. We'll answer the question, Jerk. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You know, it works. You guys send us a text, and we will answer it. And no, Howdy's not going to be in charge of this like he was yesterday. Nearly screwed the whole thing up. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Your questions, our answers next. I'm Brock and Self.
This is Brock and Sox. Answer the question, Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, Jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, Jerk!
All right, we answer your questions to finish up every day. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You know, it works. Pretty simple. You text us a question, and we do our best to answer it. Interesting crop today. Not the best I've seen, but not bad. We'll see if we can work with it. Jerks, if there was one item you never had to clean again, what would that item be?
Refrigerator.
Is that something you have to clean very... That's one you don't have to clean often.
Yeah, you should clean it once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah, you should.
Whoa, I don't clean it that often.
Maybe the way that my refrigerator's kept, it's always
I would say every maybe six
always
months that
it.
Gets cleaned.
My wife is always cleaning.
Never have to clean again. I wouldn't mind never having to power wash, but at the same time, that power washing is, like, really satisfying.
Yes.
How about the gutters? You're up there in the ladder. It's terrifying.
Mm.
I'll go gutters.
I like heights. I don't mind that.
Really? You don't mind walking up that ladder?
No. I don't mind painting outside. I don't mind the ladder.
Well, thanks.
I started actually going up on my roof with a leaf blower and just blowing it out of the gutters.
Mm. Solid.
I like that idea.
It's great.
Yeah. Got to be dry out for that,
you
right?
Got an electric, doing that electric blower, huh? Like the electric blower?
No, gas.
Oh, there you go. Oh, real man.
Next question.
Jerks, what is the worst interview you've ever done?
That's a great question.
There's a bunch of people up for that award.
Well, it starts with Bronk and Salt, okay? It's always Bronk and Salt. It starts with Bronk and Salt.
Right.
The worst
Other
interview.
People would do better than we did.
Yes.
Right.
So, let's
Vita
just,
Vea
let's
was
just,
a tough one.
Let's just not cast
Vita
blame.
Vea is going to be on the list.
On the interviewee.
Adam Moore would be on that list when he didn't wake up.
Brock's agent.
Marvin Demoff's is top five.
Kitna off his nap.
Right, but he's
Oh, he's so regained.
Yeah.
He's become a star. But, that first one is...
Those are the ones that stand out as being the worst.
I remember a tough Brandon League, I think, when I tried to talk to
Brandon
Pigeon English
League.
With him. That was a tough one.
I like Brandon League. Good dude. Which would
Next
you
question.
Value more, your dishwasher or washer-dryer?
Washer-dryer.
Washer-dryer. No question.
Really?
Yeah.
I've
no
lived
question.
Without both, and I would say that living without the washer-dryer, both stink to not have, but without a washer dryer, you go, there's a lot more ways around it. Mm. A, you can drop off all your laundry and then get it afterwards. You can you can go to the laundromat. There's a bunch of ways you can do that.
I guess if you're allowed to use washer dryers in other places, like if you're allowed to have someone else clean your stuff, then I'd probably.
Well, but even just going to a laundromat, like you can use enough washers and dryers.
But without a dishwasher, you don't have to go anywhere.
I know, but you're constantly doing dishes.
It's on you. Like, you just do it in the house. Like,
having to go to the laundromat is the worst.
Oh, really? I never minded it that much. You drop your stuff off, I'd leave and come back. Whatever.
Dishes are an easy chore if you do them with other
people.
Complete
strangers picking your underwear out of the dryer and washing.
I never felt like my dishes were clean enough. Huh. I didn't like that.
No, I like it.
Well, I like feel it free to give yours up anytime.
Next question.
Jerks, today is National VCR Day. That can't be a real thing.
Why?
VCR Day. Judge? Do you have any VHS tapes at home?
Yes. Do I have a VCR still? No.
Right.
Or the TV with the compatible? No.
What was the worst thing about VCRs? Was it using the tracking?
How about trying to set up record?
It was unusually hard.
Yes.
It was going to like a video aisle and then nobody rewinding the tape. And then you had a slow recorder and you just had to wait. The anticipation of putting it in and then seeing that it was at the end. Like, oh, come on.
Oh, speaking of kidnapping.
The tracking thing was weird, though, that you would sometimes have to adjust the tracking just to get it to fit right on your TV. Yeah. That was a strange deal.
Speaking of Kitna, you'll remember that you got married young. Better to marry than die.
Yeah, we all remember.
Got married young and had a video taped. And then Miss Jen asked him to tape Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay.
He just grabbed the tape. So happened to be their wedding tape.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, he recorded it.
No,
and at the very beginning of it, there was that little, like, you could just see the beginning of it, like, whoa. And Jen, like, rewound it, like, was that our wedding tape? And he just...
He just put the love saga of Donna and David he just over our wedding tape.
Terrible. He just recorded over our wedding.
Oh, that's just terrible. That's awful. I remember being a kid, we used to have to rent the VCR. Like, you would rent the VCR and a movie.
Whoa.
From the camera store. That was like the first place I ever remember going to rent anything. Go to the camera store, rent a VCR and a movie.
Interesting.
First movie I remember renting was The Spy Who Loved Me, James Bond.
Bond.
I think that's one of the ones with Jaws in it. Huh. Jerks, what's the sickest you've ever been on vacation?
Ooh, I think we've been largely able to avoid vacation.
First 2 years I was with Heather, we went up, I think I've told you, to her friend's cottage in San Francisco. We were staying there, and I got awful food poisoning.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, the bathroom in this little cottage did not have a door. It just had a curtain. Bad scene, man. Bad scene.
New.
That's not what you're looking for.
No.
That was the sickest I've ever been.
That's terrible.
Why are you doing this?
That's basically what I was saying.
I was sick on that plane coming back from Oklahoma way back when. Staying at the Sooner Legends Hotel. Yes, on the plane. Checked myself right into the Redmond Inn. Didn't even go home. Watched the Raiders game where they injured every Seahawk. That was the year. Like, they just pounded the Seahawks badly and injured everybody. That was bad upon bad.
There was
upon
that time
bad.
You ate the alligator or something.
Yeah, the crocodile. Gator. The gator up in the broadcast booth started to sweat through my shirt.
I've done that. Had nothing to do with eating a gator. Next Jerks, of those worst interviews, who would you like to bring back to see if they could redeem themselves?
That's a good question.
Adam Moore, very relevant to today's audience. I mean, Kitna did redeem himself.
Totally did. I feel like there's other worse ones, though. There's some other worse. Oh, man, remember the tough one a couple years ago with the D-tackle?
Vita Vea? That was just
No. From
Jordan Hill.
Man.
But he was good with other people, just not with us.
And he had like an.
He's great with Danny David Moore. Every time they had Jordan Hill on, they do a great
interview. Remember YOLO was like dying on the kitchen floor, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
That might be actually my least favorite interview we've ever done.
That was really
because I really like Jordan Hill too. He came on that day. We were asking him about what was the kid's name, the YOLO. Kid from Alabama,
Jesse Williams,
who had nearly died.
Yes,
like so you were there with him. What was that like? I don't know, man. He was kind of sick. I brought him to the hospital.
Like I was playing video games, and he was like, dude, I collapsed on my floor. Right. I can't get up, so I just like took him to the ER.
Yeah, did you stay? Were you worried? I just kind of dropped him off, went home. What'd you do? Are you scared after? No, I just kind of like play video games. They told me later, like what was going on. All right.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Jordan.
I'll tell you, I mean, recently, the one G and I did with D was no bueno.
D Gordon was.
That was no
brutal.
Bueno.
brutal.
What is the whole point, man? What is the whole point in you doing this at all?
I hope people follow him. I started following at the Astros rant guy, and I really like him. By the way, Lydia, I was listening to your show in the morning as I was driving in. I was listening to the Blitz. I like the use of the word Stros.
I realized I did that afterwards, and I was like, "That's
I liked
maybe
it.
Not."
No, I like it. I like when people call them the Stros.
I thought it was conversations, average. And then I'm like,
"I oh. thought you're better now."
Because Drows was charging with like something, the Stros, stash the Stros or something.
I like the use of the word Stros. You don't hear it enough. I think it's good.
I think you can be better. Just a little.
Thanks, Brock.
Like what? Like create a new nickname for the Astros? I don't know. That's their nickname. I like it. The Stros.
I don't pay them any respect.
Okay.
No respect.
What are you going to call them then?
The Astros. That's their name.
You're going to respect them by you're going to not respect them by calling them their
the
name.
Astros.
All right.
That's it. That's all I got.
Are you going to put like a little more emphasis on the first syllable?
Not sure. I don't know.
Would that help? Disrespect them?
But I'm done. After your disrespecting shot at my knowledge of the South, I'm done with you.
The Lastros?
I'm done with you. I'm going to go regroup. Try to be better.
All right, good luck. Use pithy again today.
Barn.
That's right. Hey, yes. We'll catch you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. See everybody.
Well done, Roger. An honor to follow him, actually.
Hey, in T-Town, we don't rest on our laurels. We laurel on our laurels. All right, I'm out.
This is the chopper!